Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. It is the 26th of May. It is Hump Day. So glad to be with you today. So much stuff going on in the world of sports. Definitely want to jump all into this. Some basketball games were played yesterday. Listen, let me go ahead and say something. I owe an apology to everyone outside of every team except one team. Exactly what that confusing sentence means in a little bit. We had three games on the docket last night. We'll talk about all three of them. One of them, I actually have a lot of time. I think I'm going to save it for tomorrow to kind of mix the two together. That sound is from the Suns-Lakers game. News just dropped an interesting story on the four-letter. Haven't had a chance to get all into it, but just want to drop this little bit of tidbit and read the main salvo and maybe get some opinions on it. One of the enduring mysteries of Spygate is the identity of the person who reached out to the late Senator Arlen Specter to coax him into dropping his Senate probe. Now Specter's son and ghostwriter have come forward with the name, Donald J. Trump. I rarely tell you to go read something in another publication, but be this true, false, whatever, I think this is a worth reading. Like I said, several games on to talk about. Definitely going to do that today. Got a guest on with us as usual. Spencer Wagner is going to be joining us, coach, educator, activist, and father. He'll be talking sports along with a lot of other things with us on the show. He's scheduled at 1:15 today. Well, let's just jump right into this. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is locally at Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will tune you up, take 10% off your cigar purchase. You also can become a member, get your access to the member lounge. Back there, refrigerator, microwave, pretty much everything you need. You get a locker, back up to the humidor. Sticks will never go bad. Now, if you don't want to become a member, there's no issue. Still plenty of places for you to sit, relax, watch all the games. They have all the league passes, so you can sit back and totally check them out. Again, like I said, they do serve beer and wine. Now, if you can't make it down there, don't fret about that either. Just go to Stogie World. That is stogieworld.com. If you call it, or rather place your order early enough, the shipment will ship out the exact same day. Again, that's Stogie World. And all this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. This has just been announced. Mikey Callaway has been placed on an ineligible list until the end of the 2022 season. He will at that point be able to apply for potential reinstatement. Manfred came down hard. That is breaking right now. But first, I want to get into something, an unconfused statement that I made a little bit earlier. I said I owe a bunch of teams an apology. I said on this show, Jimmy Butler was a professional punker. He can go out and pretty much punk just about anybody. Before I get all the, well, not this guy, just about anybody. He did it with the help of his friends to Milwaukee last year. Not so successful this year. But I found something that was more of a professional punker than Jimmy Butler. It's the mind of the LA Clippers. They have ran away from the Lakers to the point they can't beat the team that they're playing. They can't beat the Mavericks. And if you look at the team and you match them up, they should beat the Mavericks. And there's no way you're going to tell me that Luka plus Porzingis or Luka plus Hardaway, and that's not me knocking Hardaway or Porzingis, should give you more than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Now, that's what they brought him in for. And Serge Ibaka, championship medal with Toronto. Rajon Rondo, playoff Rondo. Oh, a champ from last year in the same building. They can't get out of their own way. And listen, I know he's not because he has way too much class to do it. But Doc Rivers is sitting back right now in Philly saying, I told you these cats. I told you. That wasn't me. Sure, part of it was, but a lot of that wasn't me. And it's something that's gotten in their heads. They just can't perform in the playoffs. And you can tell me I'm being unfair. Listen, I will say this. Paul George is one of my top favorite players in the NBA. Not even close. I am a Paul George fan. 100%. But you're looking at a team that defensively, oh, wow, we're supposed to have Kawhi on one wing, Paul George on the other wing. You got a Morris brother there. You got a Pitbull and Patrick Beverley. You got playoff Rondo. You got Reggie Jackson, who for years swore he was better than Russell Westbrook. Zubac, who people said the Lakers were idiots for trading. You got all these people. They can't win a game at home in a playoff series. The Mavericks don't even have to come back to L.A. They can handle business at home and be done with this series. When you look at the box score for the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, amazing game. 41 points on 21 shots. That's amazing. Paul George, 28 points, 22 shots, 1-7 from the arc. Not good shooting from the arc, good shooting everywhere else. 11 for 15 everywhere else. Made all his free throws. Kawhi made 9 of 10 of his free throws. Paul George, 12 boards, 6 assists. Can't fault him for that. And he still was a minus 18. Kawhi, 41 points, still a minus 7. Every starter, and I'm not a plus-minus guy, but every starter was a minus. Every bench player that played was a plus. Explain that. Explain how there had to be some overlap. But whatever, it is what it is. When you look at Dallas, yeah, Luka had 39, but Porzingis had 20. Hardaway Jr., 28. Kleber, 13. 9 for Richardson, 9 for Brunson. There's balance in that attack. And Luka's finding people. He's setting you up. He's setting up the switch that he wants. He finds the weakest link on the Clippers, and he puts them in a pick and roll, and they switch. Okay, at what point do you fight through that? Well, we can't put Kwai on him, because if you put Kwai on him, that takes all his energy from the offensive end. Oh. I think you need to start out with Kwai on him. There's no need to have energy on the offensive end if only two dudes are scoring. You at this point, you've got to make that switch. You've got to make that move. Luka isn't your average cat. Can't get him wild. He's like Kwai. Don't get him wild. You don't get in his head. You don't do all of that. He's going to play at his pace. He's going to play at his speed. And there's certain guys in the league that just do that well. Kwai, Luka, Jokic, you cannot speed them up. You cannot get in their mind. You cannot get them to the breaking point. But they're at the point where you just have to defend him with your best defender. You just got to do it. There's no hiding on the court now. You're down 0-2. And every year you're getting progressively worse. Yeah, regular season, you're fine. But you guys are beyond the point of regular season success. At this point, the Clippers should be either playoff, championship rather, or bust. It's one or the other. There's no, you can't say this phrase for the Clippers anymore. They had a good season, but no more buts to win in the playoffs. And when you look just at the box score of this game, part of you may think, wow, how did the Clippers lose this? And I know Dallas shot better from the arc, but they were out-rebounded. Assists were about the same. But when it was time to make a play, when it was time to close out, when it was time to put the clamps on, when it was time to say, we've got the best wing players and the best wing defenders, Luka flipped you the bird and kept doing what he does. I am ready to admit I was wrong. I didn't think this could happen twice to the Clippers. Not in back-to-back years. Hell, I picked them to win in six. And I was dead wrong. And no, it's not over. And no, they technically can come back. But what have you seen that makes you believe they can come back? There's nothing in me that says, have faith in the Clippers. Nothing. I've never seen a team try so hard to avoid a team, to get in the playoffs and then get embarrassed the way the Clippers are getting embarrassed right now. And I can't think of a nicer team for it to happen to. You are being rewarded for your cowardness. You are being served a nice warm dish of you are getting exactly what you asked for. And I can't think of a team that deserves it more because they ran to this position. And I love the fact that the Mavericks and Luka are saying, okay, is that what you wanted? You wanted us? Well, you got us. And now you're coming back to Dallas, down 0-2, tail between your legs. Your two best players offensively are playing okay, but they're supposed to be wing stoppers. They couldn't stop a wing if KFC was throwing them out the window. Back with our guest after this is Cave Show. PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for hanging out with us this fine Wednesday hump day. If you ever miss any part of the show whatsoever, you can check us out over at KSRN at 3 o'clock for the replay. Download the app from your Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. As you know, you're catching us live. 1 o'clock, a bunch of different ways, covered by different networks. Just go to sportscave.com, easiest way to find us. Cave is with the K. Click on that Listen Live button, and there you are. If for any reason you click that Listen Live button, any other time it will route you to a bunch of our shows. Pick one you like to listen to again, or pick one maybe you missed. Also on the website, sportscave.com, there are some of our favorite shows and interviews on the left-hand side of the page. All this happens at thesportscave.com. Up next, got a great guest on. Great guest. Man knows football, knows basketball, a little bit of everything, about a whole lot. Coach, educator, activist, and father, my man, the one and only, Spencer Wagner. Spence, what's up?
How we doing?
Man, I am good. Today's a good day.
that's great to hear. That's great to hear. I was following some of the commentary and super excited.
Yeah, man. You know what? I'm probably one of the biggest Paul George fans you'll find. That's not a surprise. I'm a big fan. But boy, when the lights go on in the playoffs, the Clippers have to be the biggest cowards mentally I've seen in a long time.
You will get no pushback from me.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You know what? A lot of people say it's DNA. And I'm really starting to believe that. There's either you have something in you that says it's time to fight, it's time to scrap. And when I look at this team, I see people like Beverly, who's just an irritant. You can't just be an irritant. You got to be able to play. You got to back it up. What the hell? Dallas is serving them up, and Luka is doing it with a smile. I actually find it enjoyable.
With the smile, and there's not too much commentary about the job that Doc Rivers did last year, right?
No,
I think there's one thing. There's one thing about knowing, right? When you know what you have, it's one thing. But when you don't know what you have, and you finally get it, and you realize it was what it was, that's the next.
Yep. And I can't say the words I want to say, but Doc is somewhere saying, "I told you about these. I told you, and you thought it was me." all this time.
In the great words of Coach Green, they are who we thought they were.
And then some. You know what amazes me more than anything, though, Spencer, is ask for this matchup. This is what they played
right
for.
And they're getting exactly what they deserve. And they're getting exactly what they deserve, Paul, because, again, this is a man's league. Everybody is a professional. And on any given day, professionals have to show up. And the choice you made, you forgot that, you know, these guys wanted to play you as well.
Right.
And so there lies the question. But we're seeing the realization and the fruition of sometimes you ask for something that you didn't want and you get it and you don't know what to do with it.
Ain't that the truth? I tell you what, though. I think the Lakers are going to beat the Suns in six, right? I firmly believe that. But I will give the Suns respect in this. They didn't run from their two seed. They, until the last day, tried to catch the Jazz. They didn't run. They knew what was in store if they made that calculation, and they didn't run. And I like the fact that they are using a mantra, and I call it the Ric Flair mantra. To be the man, you got to beat the man. You got to catch him sometime. Oh, yeah. So why not catch him now? If they fall your way, it'll fall your way. That's life. But we're not going to run from it.
As they shouldn't. As they shouldn't. I think the most valuable thing in life is experience, right? And I think as they're going to understand, they're getting experience with these young guys and Devin Booker himself. And I think this experience is going to pay major dividends in the future. And that's going to be something that they're going to be able to rely on moving forward, you know, as an organization. But I agree with you. I got the Lakers in five, but I could see it being a six-game series. Totally agree.
So I knew you were popular. Everyone knew you were popular. Everybody knows you. And I said the name, and I thought I was going to have to send a card for you, send a valet with a note and everything. And I knew you were a popular person when you said you were coming on. But I didn't know how popular you were. But there's someone on the line that heard you were coming on, and they said, you know what? If he's on, I got to call in. So I'm not even going to tell you who it is. But here they are, and you'll know the voice, because this is how popular you are.
Spencer, how you doing?
How we doing?
Spencer, how you doing? I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm listening to you talk about the Lakers game and the Suns last night, but from what I understand, you're not really a big fan of the Suns, and from what I understand, you were really showing out at Pirro's last night after the Lakers won. So could you elaborate on that a little more, please?
I would like to, you know, reintroduce myself. I am the sponsor for LeBron James. I choose that because he is not only a great athlete, but he's a great person. And he's one heck of a basketball player.
Goodness.
I had Paul calling me, you know, with the play-in game. You know, he's calling. He's threatening my unborn children. He's looking for me, you know, because
aren't you supposed to bring him to get coached?
Exactly.
Isn't he supposed to get coached up by Paul?
Man, supposed to get coached up by Paul, but you know, hey, he's looking for me. Lakers beat the Warriors, you know. Then I show up when the Suns play the first game, and, you know, I guess Suns fans thought that it was the play-in game. So they thought they won the series after the first game. But as I digress, you know, I'm sitting there last night, you know, in my feelings. My little brother's there with me. And so I finally had some support. You know, I could see somebody that thought like me, believes in me. And I felt tremendous. I felt great. And I really appreciate you calling in.
I had kudos on my energy
last night.
Your energy was amazing. As these young boys say, you were lit.
Let me go ahead, everyone, and just let you know the caller is Super Bowl champ, the one, the only Russell Davis, calling in to share a little joy with our man Spencer Wagner. Like I said, you're a popular person. You come on the show, and everyone's ready for you.
See?
And I'm going to be critiquing you as soon as I get off the phone because I got to get back to work. But
I know
I'm
going
to be critiquing you. I'm listening to your conversation. I'm going to record it. All right, man. I'll catch y'all later. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Appreciate you.
All right, Russ. Appreciate you.
See, that's how we do over here. That's how we do PLR. That's how we do.
Hey, you're a popular guy. I said, and all of a sudden, that's what happens.
Man, I see how it is, man. It'll take a lot to get to you, huh? So, hey, here, let me get right online.
Ooh-wee.
Hey, don't gotta have no enemies when I know Paul.
Listen, I gotta ask you though a football question. Seriously, a football question. Aaron Rodgers, in a situation that he's not a happy person, and I heard his old GM come on air and say, nowadays these football players are asking for too much. They want to do everything. They want to be in charge of everything. They don't need to be in charge of everything. They need to do their job and let us do our job. That sounds to me a whole lot like old man
shut up
off
and dribble
my lawn. Pretty much, because Russell Wilson moaned a little bit, and guess what? He has a new offensive line and a tight end. Tom Brady went down to Tampa. Tom Brady, I remember Bruce Arians saying before the season started, Antonio Brown will not be on his team. Somewhere along the line, Tom said, I want AB. AB's on that team. Guess what? AB re-signed. Why should Aaron Rodgers be any different from what those other quarterbacks were asking for?
And the question is, Aaron should not be different, right? There comes a point in time when we're talking about, hey, what are our expectations and what have you done lately, right? What have you done for me lately? To quote off of that commentary from that GM, it sounded like he said, shut up and dribble, okay? The things that we got to look at, especially with Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers had gave the Green Bay Packers all of him and everything that he had to offer. He's won a Super Bowl for him. He did it humbly, standing behind Brett Favre, came in to the position and made the team his own. Hey, going 13-3 and losing to the Super Bowl champs, hey, that's a great accomplishment. But to be wanted and to be listened to is his number one request. And he hasn't been listened to, and he hasn't been advised as to who they're bringing in and what they can do to support him. I think now Aaron deserves to go wherever he suggests or would like to go to. I think with the baggage, if I were the Packers and I had a quarterback as Aaron Rodgers and I'm in this situation, I would send him to the AFC, somewhere in the Houston area, for that younger kid down there named Deshaun Watson, and we'll deal with all of the media blasts as that fire is starting to fizz away.
Now, I noticed something about Deshaun Watson. His deposition, he can't even be deposed until next year. And I was going to ask you about him, but that'll segue into this. Is the NFL going to suspend him? If they do, how long will they suspend him? Because you don't have to be guilty. You just have to embarrass the shield to get suspended.
Well, I don't think that there's nothing that he's done to warrant a suspension, because he hasn't been found guilty. There have been extreme number of accusations that have been made. But it's interesting, those accusations came about after he was declaring a trade, right? So there's a little questionability going on as far as, hey, what happened when and when did it happen and when did they know? And so I think that as we're looking at this case unfold, I think that as the individuals or the victims are being questioned about being deposed, they're kind of shying away from that. And so I think it's going to be an interesting story as it plays out. And I don't think the NFL will have any stance on suspending him other than he admits to some type of guilt or misdoing or wrongdoing in those situations. So I think he might be okay. But again, I think it's going to be that play the matter away, and they're going to give him that option to play it away. But hey, if I had a selection and I had a problem, that would be my issue. I would say, hey, we're going to take this kid out of Texas. We'll give you Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to need a couple picks from you as well.
Is there a quarterback in the league, and I asked Russell this as well, and I'm asking every football player this, if you have a quarterback that's worth 3 first-round picks and mortgaging your future away, is there anyone in the league like that?
Patrick Mahomes.
That's it, huh?
I say that without hesitation. I mean, you know, you got these guys now. I know Eric is up in Aaron Rodgers is up in age. I really can't say any other name other than Patrick Mahomes right now, especially being in that young category. You know, Dak's good. The kid out of San Diego's good. But I dang sure can't say anyone else that I would say, hey, this would be the picks I would give up. I'm a Russell Wilson fan all day. But I think that kid in Kansas City is – probably the only one that I think that you would bet the mortgage on because he's
callers,
just that good.
Callers, I see you lining up. If you could, if you want to hold, please do. If not, give a call back in 13 minutes, and I promise I will get you online here on The Cave Show with PLR. I heard Jimmy Johnson say that if he could pick any quarterback, and he's been around everybody to start a franchise, it would be Patrick Mahomes. You play football. What is it that kid has that no one else has to make even a Jimmy Johnson, who's been around a quarterback that won 3 Super Bowls for him, to say, I'll take that guy?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the years of Jimmy Johnson, right, and you look at the wealth of experience and what he's seen, right, over the years. I mean – hey, I'm really good friends with Donovan McNabb, and you know we had conversations about Andy Reid and you know Patrick Mahomes, and he said that, hey, this guy is that good, Spencer, and he said watch out, look for this kid, and as soon as he was saying that, hey, here comes Patrick Mahomes popping up onto the scene, and the rest is history, as we should say. I mean, if you look at this from a football perspective, you know, playing defense is one thing that I do, and being defense linemen, you know, they line up on sides pretty much all the time. But barring that defender lining up off sides, he possibly would have 2 Super Bowl rings right now.
Very true.
You know, so I think the guy from top to bottom, throw the ball, he can make every pass. His IQ is off the chart. He's young. He's mobile when he needs to be. And he's a definite leader on the field. And so I think that when you have all of those aspects and you check all of those boxes, I can see why Jimmy Johnson made that decision and made that commentary.
So I've talked to defensive players before, and they've each given me a different aspect to what makes a quarterback a leader, to the point that they even feel he's the leader of the team, of not just the offense. And I've talked to defensive players before that said, man, with this dude, we better hold him to 7 if we have a shot to win this game today. What is
right.
it about a Patrick Mahomes, a Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, that gives that defense so much confidence to say, no, he's not just leading offense. We follow this guy no matter where he goes. What is it about those dudes that gives the defense that confidence?
It's their coachability. They're able to be coached. They're able to be ridiculed. They're able to be addressed as such. But their work ethic, their commitment to the game, and their just ability to know, hey, you know what? I know I need you for us to win. And I think that's where those guys get that buy-in. To be a captain of any team, you know, all of those 53 players got to buy in, right? And so
right.
there is something intangible about those. Every one of those guys that you named, they feel that with this guy on my side and on my team, we can do just about anything. And I think that's the thing that makes great leaders. They're able to speak to the first man on the roster and the 53rd man on the roster, and they don't differentiate between the two because it's a team concept. I know just right off talking about Tom Brady. I mean, his film critique is probably second to none than one of my favorite safeties of all time, Ed Reed. The guy just – he's a gym rat. He stays on top of it. And if your quarterback is that much of a work ethic and a gym rat, then you have to do that. And so I think that he leads by example, and he's also a vocal leader to where his teams just believe in him. And those guys are a dime in a dozen. Yep.
Should the NFL have added the 17th game?
No. Football is different. Basketball, I think you can get away with it. I think football, it's a lot tougher and harder on your body. And I think that any extra game can put players at risk. And I just don't really see what the NFL gets from it other than making more money.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to say, do you believe, like I believe, 17 is just a path to 18 because it's inevitable?
All day, because once you start moving the number up, the number will never stop. It'll never stop, and I totally 100% agree with you on that one, because when you're talking about, hey, well, we've done 16 forever, right? As long as I can remember, we've done it forever. And then when we're looking at the 16-game schedule, I mean, we're adding one more game. So I think the cap is going to be anywhere from 17 to 19 games.
Body wise,
because they're still trying to make up those. They're still trying to make up those preseason games too, Paul. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. Body wise, how many guys do you think are going to break down, or do you think they should increase that roster so that way more guys are on the active game roster if they get to 18 games? Do you think that has to be the offset?
I agree it has to be the offset because, again, we're talking about profit, right? So if I'm going to increase the games, then I'm increasing the opportunity and probability of someone getting hurt. If I'm going to increase that matter, then I need to increase the roster size too. And so I think if they increase it to an 18-game season, then that roster size should go to from 53 to 60.
Okay.
To where you then can kind of compensate for those bodies, those extra plays, those games, and I think you're more equipped to withstand an 18-game season, if that makes sense to you.
It does. I have two more questions before I let you get out of here. Now, work with me with this one because I got to set it up a little bit. I believe
okay.
in the salary cap a little bit, not totally, but if you're going to have a cap in football, I think there should be some caveats because the cap is the cap, the owners protecting themselves from the ones that don't really have a lot of money from the ones that do. That's really, if anybody wants the truth, that's what the cap is for. So you don't get Jerry Jones
yep.
with deep pockets outspending dude in, I don't know, Detroit, who doesn't have deep
right.
pockets. So that's really all it's for. But I believe in the NFL, you should remove the quarterback from your salary cap. So what you do is you say, we have a team salary cap, and I'm just a random number, $170 million. Our quarterback cap is $45 million. For however many quarterbacks you want, if they're designated quarterbacks, they come in that cap. Now, once you go over that cap, you then start borrowing from your team cap. And if you do it that way, you don't get all this asinine crap of saying, well, you got to win with the quarterback in his first 4 years while his cap hit is low, because then once you pay him, now you can't pay everybody else. And now I'm sitting back, if I'm another player, saying, wait a second, why do I have to take money out of my pocket and have to be seen as, oh, I'm not a team guy, because I don't want to get what I've earned just so they can pay this dude when he's already going to make more than anybody else anyway. So I think you can
right.
solve that just by giving quarterbacks their own cap. What are your thoughts?
So I like the concept. I guess what I would do is I would take away the quarterback. I would say you have a luxury position cap, right? So let's say you have a luxury position salary cap, and that could be a quarterback like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, or that could be a D tackle like Aaron Donald. Because I think in every situation, the quarterback position is not the elite and the position that propels the team to success. There's some other positions that propel those teams to success. So I think if you created that type of model, I think having that luxury salary cap, hey, this is what it is, it's $40 million, and then you have a team salary cap. That way, if you're in a middle-of-the-road type team and your quarterback's, he's not elite, but he's just good enough for us to where we're in that position because of him, but our team is totally circled around this defensive player or this wide receiver or this running back. So that would be my only pushback of it. I would be selective with what they can do with that player. Rather than just pigeonholing it for the quarterbacks, I would call it a luxury player cap. So it would be specifically for whatever and whoever your best players are.
Makes sense. One day I'll share with you my thoughts on the antiquated NBA draft too, but we'll save that one for later. So I got to get you out of here on this one. Last question. I know you're a Lakers fan. I know you think the Lakers are going to win the title, and I know why you think the Lakers are going to win a title. But I'm going to ask you to put on the reverse cap. The Suns beat the Lakers in this series, obviously barring injury, but the Suns beat the Lakers in this series. If the Suns are able to do what?
If the Suns are able to beat the Lakers in this series, Chris Paul will need to be at least 90%. It's a different game and a different team when Chris Paul is on the court as compared to when he's not on the court. I think that's the only way the Suns will come close to beating the Lakers. And then if they did somehow pull out this series, I think they may not make it to the Western Conference Finals. And that would be, you know, a health situation over anything. I just think the Lakers are too deep, too experienced for the Suns to beat them. And I think it's a matter of time before Frank Vogel, and I think that we haven't given Frank Vogel the props that he deserves. Frank Vogel is a great coach. He knows how to adjust when needed, and he's coming into his own in his second year. And if you look at his adjustments and the way he coaches from that sideline, you see very little commentary from LeBron in regards to flailing, throwing his hands up, like, what are we doing? Why is he in here? Frank Vogel knows how to move that roster around to create a successful team out on the court. And so I think that's the only challenge, man. I mean, I think the Suns are just they're underhand and they're undermanned in this series.
Agreed. And they definitely don't have enough size to match the Lakers' size once they go big. It's just not enough. But, yo, it only took me forever to get you on, but mission completed.
Hey,
we're going to have to do it again.
Hey, anytime, like I said, I am here for you. Just got to give you a shout-out, man. You are a great brother. You're a great example. And know that I appreciate you. I appreciate your humility. I appreciate your honesty. And I always appreciate your encouragement. And, man, I can't thank you enough, and I appreciate you for bringing me on, man.
Yo, and all that goes back the other way. I appreciate you, and I'm sure we will see each other very soon, and
yes,
we'll
sir.
See if we'll see if our boy Russell rolls through with a little bit of side commentary,
amen.
Since you know he's listening.
I know, and to Big Russ, hey, I'm ready for Duke when you're ready for me.
Oh, and speaking of, did anyone tell you I run a basketball camp? Just so you know, in case you wanted to.
Yeah,
you know,
they
will
see you. Jaden will be at your basketball camp. Shout out to Jaden Wagner on the court.
All right, my brother. I appreciate you. We will definitely right. catch up.
All right. All right. Appreciate you, Paul. All right.
Yes, sir. Later.
Yeah.
The one only Spencer Wagner. Great to get him on. Callers, I see you calling. I got you covered. Let me just break for commercial. We'll be right back. Cave Show PLR, open phone lines, 917-889-7828. Cave Show PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave, Caves with the K. Excuse me, on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Callers, I appreciate your patience. Thank you for holding. Thank you for calling back. Let's open this up. We've got about 10-9 minutes left. Let's do this. Cave Show, PLR.
Okay. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right. But I can't say the same for the Clippers, though. Oh, boy. Looks like they're going to fall apart again.
They deserve it. I was saying
yes.
that earlier. They ran away from competition. And guess what? Luka is slapping him in the face.
Yes.
And they deserve it. And they deserve it. You can't run from a challenge. I keep saying it. I said it on the show. I'm going to say it again. As Ric Flair would say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And the Lakers are the champs. LeBron is the man. You want that ring, you got to go through him. It doesn't matter if you go through him early or late. You got to go through him. And I say this, I would rather get the Lakers. Like, the Suns are facing them now, and the Suns didn't run away from anybody. I would rather get the Lakers with AD and LeBron and Schroeder all coming back than get them in the second round or the third round when they're all back and they're all cohesive and it's all running together. I think the Clippers ran from something that maybe they shouldn't have ran from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess they haven't learned from their epic disaster from last postseason. It's still dragging with them.
It is what it is. Your
yeah.
team plays tonight, right?
Yes, they do. Hopefully, a better outcome.
Who you got?
I got the Knicks. I got the Knicks here.
Okay. Should be a good game.
Should.
Should be a good game. So, yep, I'm looking forward to tonight's action. That's the game I'm looking forward to more than any other game, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that's going to be rather entertaining. You have Trey Young telling Knicks fans to shut up. Can't hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Knicks fans saying, oh, well, whatever, you shut up. This is our town. So I'm looking forward to this.
Anybody who's a Knicks fan, yes.
It gets rolling at 4:30.
My 4:30 time. Your time.
Right. And that's going to be over on, well, I'm about to give a shameless plug to another network. That's going to be over on TNT, whereas Washington Philly is on NBA TV and Memphis, Utah will follow on TNT, follow the Knicks and the Hawks. Which is another game I'm very interested in watching with the return of Spider Mitchell.
Speaking of TNT, you know they're gonna have hockey next year, and guess who's gonna be a commentator? Well,
Charles Barkley.
No.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah, right.
Shaq. Never. Chris Webber. Kenny the Jet Smith.
No, this is hockey we're talking. No.
Okay,
Paul,
I
know you're trying to.
One more game.
Go ahead.
Roenick. Jeremy Roenick.
No, but it was a better guess.
Okay.
I mean, at least you're on the right,
I dab out.
At least you're on the right track there. Wayne Gretzky is going to be an analyst for TNT Hockey. Yes.
The great one. The greatest ever.
The great one. Yes. Jeremy Roenick was a bad guess, but, you know, yeah, they just signed a deal.
That's good.
I mean,
stuff.
That's a great
thing.
I mean, the greatest hockey player ever, and why not? I think he knows the game inside out, so why not make him an analyst for TNT? I just can't imagine TNT doing hockey.
That
has not yet been determined. That hasn't been determined yet.
That should be interesting. Hockey has to find something, Lou, and I say this respectfully for the game, to make people watch it on TV.
Yes.
Because it's a hard sport to watch on TV. So I love the fact that you have Wayne during the games. What I don't want is people so tuned in to watch Wayne, they forget to watch the game. And they're just watching, you know, so you gotta be able to definitely hockey has to come up with something. I remember when they did the whole the glowing puck or the puck that
Fox
traveled with the art. Yeah, but that didn't catch on. So I wonder what they're going to do next to keep the average fan in the game.
Well, we'll have to wait till October to find out.
It'll be here before you know it. It's practically June now.
Yeah. I just can't picture hockey on TNT. Hmm.
Hey, why not? If they cash the check, why not?
That's true. Well,
I do have to tell you something, though, before I end up having to let you go because we're up against the hard clock. Starting next week, first off, there is not a regular show on Monday. It's a recorded show. So I'm saying it at the end of the show and then obviously a lot tomorrow and the next day. For the holiday, there will be not a regular show, it will be a recorded show. Two, for the next 3 weeks, so all of next week and the 2 weeks following, we will actually be on at 2 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock. So it'll be a 1 hour later start to the show.
4 o'clock there.
For 3 weeks.
So 4 o'clock my time.
4 o'clock. Yep. Oh.
Right.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock your time. Two here is five
o'clock
on the
my
East
time?
Coast.
Oh, that's right. I always keep forgetting that, you know, during the spring you're 3 hours behind me, and in the fall you're 2 hours behind me.
Right. So right
I gotta
now.
I got that right one day.
Yep, it's 5 till 2. So just a scheduling note for everybody, we will be on at 2 o'clock for 3 weeks due to other assignments and a lot of sports stuff going on. So I just wanted everyone to know if you tune in at 1, we won't be on. We come on at 2. For 3 weeks only.
I'll be there.
Well, all right, buddy. Well, look, got to jump. I'm coming up against the hard count now.
Right. So long.
All right, buddy. Always good to catch up. Always good to catch up with Lou. Quick friend of the program. Like I said, I wanted to give you that scheduling note that we are just 3 weeks where we'll be making a temporary schedule change. So tonight, the Knicks play the Hawks. Listen, this is really weird because when you pick a team to win in a certain amount of games, you have to sort of pick the games that they'll lose. If the Knicks don't win tonight, I don't think it goes 6. Hell, I don't even think it goes 5. I think if the Knicks lose tonight, they get swept. I think this is their only chance to force this into 6 games because a win tonight gets you back to Atlanta. Even if Atlanta wins 2, I think the Knicks will do that. You're not going to dance on our stage, and they'll end up winning at home. But if they lose tonight, I think that's a wrap. And Tom Thibodeau teams in the playoffs always end up at some point looking like Tom Thibodeau teams. Play hard, play aggressive, play assertive, do all those things well, but absolutely, positively have a hard time scoring. And I don't see anything that's going to change that. The Knicks will give you everything they have. But offensively, they're no match for those shooters that the Hawks have. John Collins down low. Clint Capella down low. It's just not even playing field. Washington, Philly. Some people say Washington had a shot to win the game the other night. I didn't see that. Philly should win tonight. Again, this should be a three-game sweep. Memphis, Utah, Spider Sally's back in the building. I see Utah evening up the series. Now I'm going to jump ahead on something that I just find very interesting. These are the NBA playoffs, and I think your fans and ticket sales tell you a lot about not only what your fans think of your team, but what they think of your opportunities to win your series. Now, some places tickets are just going to be high. New York tickets are going to be high. But in Philly tonight, in a series where they're going to win the series, barring a catastrophe, Philly's going to beat Washington. Lowest ticket is still 187. Atlanta, New York, 241. Memphis, Utah, 85. It seems a little low, but whatever. Phoenix and L.A. tomorrow night, 180. And I'll check this tomorrow to see if it changes. Denver and Portland, 110. Here's the telling story. Milwaukee, Miami, $39. For an NBA playoff series that features a team that went to the finals last year versus a team with the two-time MVP, and you can get a ticket for $39. Huh. Miami loves the Dolphins. I don't know if they feel the same about the basketball team. Hey, listen, everyone, thank you for calling in today. I really, really appreciate it. As always, follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Of course, is with the Cave at the Sports Cave. SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with a K. And you get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thank you, caller that called in. Lou, good friend of the program. Special guest, Spencer Wagner, thank you for calling in. And Big Russ, thank you for chiming in as well. Russell Davis, Super Bowl champion. Until tomorrow, when we're right back, Cigars with the Cave Show tomorrow, live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Looking forward to it. Listen, everyone, be safe. Enjoy your hump day. It's all downhill for the weekend now. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. Tips, bring us home.